Ezekiel Elliott, and he's got an opening. Elliott, off to the races. Can they catch him? No, they can't. Touchdown.
Tie a three will win it. Sylvester for three. Oh, with 5.1 to go.
Here's Fields with time in the end zone.
A single season record of 14 set by Vernon Golston in 2000.
8 seconds to go. Kraft with Paolo defending. Now a switch off. He's got Niang on him with three. He better hurry. Puts up the shot. And he hits it with 0.2 seconds to go. Wow.
Inbounds Turner, left side of the backboard. Turner across the timeline, throws it from high on the right.
He hit it just inside of half court.
They go for the ball game. Touchdown, Michael Jenkins on fourth and one. Would you believe it? Craig Krenzel strikes with a minute and a half left. Holy Buckeye.
This is the Bunch of Nuts podcast featuring Dan Smith and Big Cass. Let's get nutty.
Welcome back to another edition of the Bunch of Nuts podcast. I'm Dan here with Big Cass, and today we got a big guest. We have a former Ohio State captain, player, Denver Broncos player too, John Krzyzewski. It's a pleasure to have you on the podcast, my man. We met you, Saturday at the rally. How are you doing, John?
Doing well. You know what? That was a really good rally too. A bunch of folks came out, and it was really good to see. Not only the parents, but, Buckeye Nation out in force. They're making a difference. I think there's a lot of encouraging news. So, it was good to see everybody.
Yeah, especially with that team up north. They're having a rally for their parents this weekend. So they're not the leaders. They're the followers in the Big Ten.
Right. No, our parents have been the followers. I mean, the leaders, they've been doing a great job, just a great job. The parents, thank goodness.
And it's not just the football parents. We saw the baseball parents out there Saturday also.
Yeah.
It's been very delightful with all the parents and the way the Buckeye Nation's been handling everything.
I've been very impressed with all the other, schools in the Big Ten. You mentioned that, that team up north, but you got Nebraska that's really done a lot of work, fighting this and Iowa's been out, Penn State's been out. So it's been good to say, folks want their football back.
Yeah, absolutely. Before we get more in detail with all the rumors that have been swirling, let's talk about your career at Ohio State in a little bit. But first and foremost, I ask every former player, basketball or football, this: what does it mean to be a Buckeye?
Well, I tell you, the longer you're out, the more you really appreciate it. I travel the country, and I do a lot of traveling, and there's not one time that I'll go through an airport that people won't notice my pin, and they'll, kind of give me an OH, and that can be from out in California, all the way to Maine. The best thing about being a Buckeye is really Buckeye Nation. It's, that and what it means to be a Buckeye is that's what they teach you here. They really kind of teach you that, results matter. And the more you get out there in the work world, and the more that you get around other folks, you realize that you really came from a special place. And Buckeye Nation, that's what it's all about.
Looking back on it, John, what was your favorite memory of just, being a Buckeye in your 4 years here?
It really had to be going on that field, getting ready for a game. I got so many great memories, but, going to the hotels the night before and not being able to sleep because you're so excited. If I had to pick one or two special, memories, you know, probably the one that meant the most to me, and really the one, you know, the one memory I have is one that really kind of changed everything for me, was my freshman year. You know, I came from Long Island, so Long Island wasn't, you know, wasn't the way it is here.
No.
You know, there wasn't any major, there were, you know, there really isn't any major college that you really aspire to go to.
No, yeah, absolutely.
You know, it's just very different. And so when I came to school here, it was, you know, that was more of an eye opener. But we were down in Baton Rouge, and my freshman year, I don't know, we were ranked number 3 or 4 in the country, and they were 2 or 3 in the country. And we went down there for a, you know, for a night game, and, you know, Spielman and Tupa and that whole class, they were all seniors, and it was one of the best football games I've ever seen. You know, we actually tied them 13-13 down there, and I remember walking off the field, not really knowing what to feel. You know, we just, you know, tied 13-13, but I get in the, you know, in the locker room, and it was the best game that I've ever been around. And I'm seeing Spielman, you know, crying, and I'm seeing folks like Tupa crying, and you know, Jeff Uhlenhank. And at that moment is when it really kind of dawned on me that results matter. And they expected to win that game, and they didn't win. And from that moment on, it was, you go into every game with that, you know, with the expectation of winning. We had some down years the first few years that I was here. You know, Coach Bruce, you know, losing Coach Bruce, but, you know, the memories and, you know, really the lessons that this game teaches you.
That reminds everyone too, that, you know, college football, there was days before where if it ended in regulation as a tie, there was no overtime. It's a different time. Yeah, that's crazy. People forget about that. That was so long ago. Now it's, you know, you play like Texas A&M, LSU, it can go 7 overtimes.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's definitely crazy, especially, I'm looking at your time at Ohio State, and you played with, you know, numerous NFL stars, and probably the voice of college football on ESPN now. Talk about those teammates, Big Daddy Dan Wilkinson and Kirk Herbstreit and, you know, Greg Fry and Robert Smith, and there's just a list.
Alonzo Spellman, Chico Nelson, Roger Harper, Steve Tovar, Brian Stabeline, the list goes, Kent Graham. There's the same as it is now, you know, the talent's always been here at Ohio State. They're on another level now, you know, I really believe so, but playing with those guys, you know, the way I said, coming from Long Island, it was just a different atmosphere. Getting a chance to really come to Ohio State and playing with players like that is just second to none. I mean, it's something that, you know, looking back on it, it's a reason that I wanted my son to be here. You know, it's even better watching your son play. You know, my son's a linebacker, so getting him to go through, you know, all those, you know, special moments that I got a chance to go through. But you're right. It's really the talent. The talent was off the charts.
What is it like, you know, having your son kind of following your footsteps as a father? Like, what does that feel like? What is it like watching him? Like, how is that? I just want to understand how that feels, because that's probably an awesome feeling.
Because here's what it is that when you're a fan, you watch the game a certain way. And, you know, when I watch baseball or when I watch golf, you know, I'm a fan and I watch it a certain way. When you're a player, you watch a game a much different way, right? Now that I'm watching, you know, when I watch Ohio State, I'm still nervous and I still watch it like I'm a player. Well, I was never prepared for watching the game as a father. And the highs are super high and the lows are super low, because there's nothing you can do. You know, there's nothing I can do to help him, you know, that I want to stop him from making that bad read or I'm just so proud, you know, and it's fun to talk to him. It's fun to talk to him before the games. It's fun to talk to him after the games. It's awesome. And I was looking forward to this year is going to the captain's, going to the captain's dinner and seeing him, that he made the travel team. So I was going to get a chance to, be around him and the team, you know, my son and being a captain, you know, at the same time, you know, it was going to be a special moment.
Absolutely. I mean, luckily, too, your son's incredibly bright. He's made, you know, like first team academic all Big Ten and everything. So, I mean, you've definitely raised a great son, John. Definitely you should be proud of that.
Oh, we are. But you know what? You know, all the academics is from his mom. his mom. I mean, hey, I did as well as I could. But book smarts. He's a smart kid. Thank goodness.
Talk about the difference. You know, you're looking back. You know, back in the late 80s, early 90s, you transition from turf to grass, and talk about having the track behind you playing. You know, did you ever get on the sidelines and fall on your butt on that track?
Oh, the track was terrible. That turf was, man, that turf was like playing on cement. We would play our spring games in my first season. That turf was terrible. Switching over to grass, better on the body. But now going into that stadium now, it was a little bit different.
Right.
I wish I could play in that stadium now, the way things are kind of on top of you. And it's so much louder than it was, you know, back when I played. But, you know, again, thinking of a kid coming from Long Island playing on a Saturday, we played our football games on Saturdays. We actually played our high school football games on Saturdays. So think about that. I come here and then to go play in that stadium that it could have been on dirt. And it would have been a great experience.
I could kind of relate to you, John, because I'm from northern New Jersey. So I'm kind of near the same area. And yeah, you're absolutely right. You mentioned before, there's no huge football colleges. It was just and obviously I came here for academics and I'm an alumni, but when you stepped on campus, you just knew when you get here, when you see everything, it's just incredible. Like the architecture, just the feel, the second you step on Ohio State's campus, I knew this is a different place. I want to be here as a student, not even as a football player.
Oh, growing up, watching my boys grow up and play football on Friday nights, that experience. And then going down to Ohio State and going through that, going to bowl games. It's a very special place. And, like I said, it's the older you get, the more time passes, the more you really appreciate it. And now going through this, watching my kids going through high school football and now, going through college, it's a nice place to be. But it would be better than if we were down there on Saturdays watching a football game this week.
Yeah, it would be.
Talk about you played under Coach Cooper, who was also not a Ohio State guy. And Ryan Day obviously is not a Ohio State guy. He grew up in New Hampshire and played up there in those college leagues. But he always mm-hmm. knew the Ohio State-Michigan rivalry. Talk about Ryan Day and his approach and how, as a parent, seeing your kid play for Ryan Day, what are the similarities from Cooper to what you see for Ryan Day?
Well, the one, Coach Cooper didn't have, he stepped foot on campus the first time as a head coach. So he didn't have that year or so the way Coach Day did to really get acclimated. And it's really difficult to be a coach here coming from the outside. So I think when you look at – I think Coach Meyer knew. And I think Coach Meyer brought him along, brought along Coach Day and just kind of seasoned him, right, and gave him the time that he needed to really make this his own program, where Coach Cooper was really – he really came into a tough spot. So I think if you look at the situation the way that it was left, I think the way Coach Meyer did it is going to be the blueprint for any, for any program, where you keep the inner workings of the program together and you keep the, Coach Mix and the Pantonias and that core group, that really the only thing you're changing over here is the head coach. So that really helped. And then I think Coach Meyer just did an incredible job finding the right person that fits, that really has the temperament that fits in so well here. And Coach Day, it's like you've known him forever. And when he's so welcoming, He's a great leader. And here's, and you know, the one thing you learn, the one thing that I've learned is that to be a great leader, you have to, you have to be a great communicator, right? And you have to inspire and motivate people. That's what a great leader is. And that's what it is with him. You just want to play for Coach Day. I mean, he inspires you. He motivates you. He cares about you. Very fortunate.
What's the biggest difference between Coach Meyer and Coach Day you've seen, like, as a parent, just like their styles, how they interact, mm-hmm. interact with the parents? What was the biggest difference so far you've seen?
Well, I think Coach Day is probably, you know, this is probably more welcoming. You know, Coach Meyer is so, he's so competitive. He's so intense. And that's what, you can't turn that on and off. Right. You just can't. And Coach Day's built differently, just as competitive, but probably maybe not as intense. He can kind of turn it on and off. But the results are the same. And that's what, from parents, I can't tell you that when Cade was going through his whole recruiting, how the program stands out and what, you know, Coach Meyer's built. And to really to think that, you know, Coach Day could actually take it up another notch. Is just to his credit, you know.
Go ahead, Dan.
I was going to say, John. So I didn't know this when we were talking to you at the stadium. I did some research. I found out you play for the Broncos, and actually am a huge Broncos fan.
You're a Bronco fan, yeah.
I am. And I just got to ask, like, how hard of a hitter was Steve Atwater in practice? Like,
ooh, I tell you what. I was on the sideline when Steve, you remember that tailback, that big back from Kansas City? What was his name?
Yeah, the guy from Nigeria. I forgot. Yeah. He was the Nigerian nightmare.
Yes.
That was
Steve Atwater.
Was that that Monday night game?
Yeah. He. I tell you what, Steve Atwater could hit. Steve was and then Smith, who was the free safety. Could hit it. That whole secondary was nasty. That was a really good secondary. That was a really good defense.
Was that that Monday night game that, as a kid, I remember it was Montana versus Elway when he hit that?
Might have been.
I believe so.
That's one of my first fond memories of the NFL.
He was big. Yeah, that team, you have to think about that team. You know, that had Carl Mecklenburg, had mm-hmm. Atwater, it had Greg Cragen.
It had Shannon Sharp.
It had Steve Sewell. It had Mike Kroll. Who else was on that? It had a lot of good defense, offense players on the team.
Shame that team.
Yeah, obviously, it had Elway. Yeah, obviously, Elway.
What was he like? Did you ever talk to him?
Yeah. What stands out with those guys is that they're just tremendous competitors mm-hmm. is really what it is. And their will to win. It's kind of hard. You know what? I'll tell you this though. It was a dream of mine to always get to the NFL. And mm-hmm. You kind of check the box because that's where you want to be. But if I could do it over again, I'd be back at Ohio State.
Yeah. Absolutely.
When you play in a game, Monday night games, I think the pageantry is there, but you go to some of these stadiums on a Sunday and you'd much rather be playing here in the Shoe. I mean, it's much more intense, you know?
I completely agree with that. Because it's like, you go to like MetLife. Like whenever I go to MetLife Stadium, whenever I'm back at home, it doesn't even compare to like the Shoe. It's not even close. It's Death Valley. It's people are always like wearing scarlet as opposed to, you know, some people are wearing green, some people are wearing whatever the away teams wear. It's completely different feel.
Trust me, I'm a Bengals fan, and I know, last year they were lucky to put 15,000 fans in the stands, maybe. I mean, I've been to some games where, you know, the Bengals have looked good, and I've been to some games where the Bengals have looked so bad that the fans have left so early.
I'm glad. I mean, I'm glad I played a couple seasons. I battled injuries. I battled injuries here at Ohio State. And then when I got into the NFL, they really kind of, you know, pop back up. So I lost almost two full seasons here, you know, dealing with, you know, knee injuries. And body just breaks down, you know, it just breaks down and, you know, you just can't play anymore. So the day that I walked away from it, it was, you know, sad, but I, you know, it was time. It was certainly time. You know, it's not like I was walking away from Ohio State, you know.
I mean, I feel like my body's breaking down. I lifted for the first time in like 3 months and I had to take two of leaves. I'm 25.
That's me, Dan. That's me. You know, I'm doing that. I'm doing cryo. You know, cryotherapy now.
Oh yeah.
It seems to be helping a little bit, but I'm trying everything. You know, I'm trying everything just to kind of make this body work. You know, again, I'm coaching a youth football team, which is in a sixth grade team, and just to run around with those guys at night, that my body just can't hang with them anymore. You know?
Are you ever going to be one of the are you ever going to be one of the coaches who's just going to play like do a scrimmage with them, padless, be like, all right, if you can tackle me.
You know what I remember. On my when I was here at Ohio State, that my linebacker coach was Fred Puggage, and he would hit you. I mean, I feel like it sometimes that I want to, because the one thing about kids nowadays is they have such a short attention span. Like you can't have longer than a 3, 4, or 5, you know, period practice. I mean, kids need to be doing something different, and you want to. It's so frustrating. You're like, guys, stop talking. Pay attention. It's not easy.
Yeah, it is. Funny story is Fred Puggage's cousin is my grandmother's next door neighbor in Georgia. That's okay, of all places. Yeah, because they're originally from Pittsburgh, so you know it's pretty cool to hear him every once in a while. I'll go down there, hear him talk about Fred when he was younger and all that stuff.
That's a good dude.
So
good people.
Yeah, let's switch over to everything that's going on. There's some college games, FBS college games this weekend with Southern Miss, and I forget who else plays. You know, I haven't really looked at the schedule.
UAB and like Central Arkansas tonight.
Yeah, I've been so depressed about that that I haven't looked. But talk about everything that's going on. We all know they released the schedule. 4 days later, they shut it down. Talk about Ryan Day and how he's handled and what he's been talking to you guys about and getting everything handled.
Well, all through the summer, we were having Zoom calls with Coach Day, you know, and the staff and Gene Smith. And he would do multiple Zoom calls a month, you know, just to, you know, give us an update, you know, let us know what was going on. So it was really good communication. We knew when they went back in June. We knew when the testing was going to start. We knew what the it was just really well set up. So it never dawned on anybody that now there were some hints now and then someone would drop it. You know, somebody would, you know, drop a hint or say something like, you know, the season's not guaranteed. But we felt like we assumed that all the schools were doing what we were doing. Right. They were testing Monday and Thursday. And, you know, we had some positive tests and they would basically quarantine those folks. They would take care of them. They would put them away in a hotel. They were doing all the right things. And so when we got the news, it was really shocking. It was really surprising. And I think Coach Day, I think he was surprised as well. There was so much confusion because like you said, Josh, we got the news on Friday. We got the schedule. And everyone was pumped up. I mean, back then, think about that. Back then, the only thing we were complaining about is we were going to have to beat that team up north in October. And we weren't used to beating them at that month. We, you know, used to beating them in, you know, like November. So that's all we were talking about. And then 4 days later, the bomb drops and everybody was stunned.
It's stunned. Crazy. And
at first, I thought, well, they know something. At first, I was like, well, let's see what comes out, thinking like in 24 hours, something really bad was going to come out and then all the other leagues were going
to
shut down.
It's crazy to think that we wouldn't be on the Zoom call right now. We'd be watching the Buckeyes right now.
Yeah.
You'd probably have a 21-point lead right now against Illinois at 8:30. Here it is, 8:30, kickoff just starting, you know, 8 o'clock. And now we're on the Zoom call because they canceled. And it's crazy to think about how we could possibly be up 21-0 right now.
Right now.
Right now, 21-0, but we're having a Zoom call instead.
That's a good theory, think about that, Josh.
my theory on what happened, and I think this kind of came to me recently, but I think something must have happened with that Indiana, like one player from Indiana, because they said they're reporting he wasn't doing well with like the complications. And now I think he's okay now, but I think the Big Ten probably saw that and probably, you know, really freaked out. That's my guess. That would be probably my guess. But I mean, they need to kind of be more transparent with the parents, obviously. Even if they do vote and they do overturn it, they still need to kind of explain why they made that initial decision. Because I don't think overturning and not just sweeping under a rug isn't fair. Like there still needs to be transparency.
There should be. I think they'd like to know. I think they could have done a better job with being prepared for the consequences of what that decision was. And meaning, like, I'm sure they had to talk through what the scenarios were going to be. And it just seemed like they had no plan. It seemed to me like, and you might be right, Dan, that, you know, thinking back about that, when that kid's story came out, that I do remember who you're talking about, I read it, but I was concerned, like, what's really going on here? And could this have, you know, future implications? So I think you're right. But think about it. From we still sit here not knowing what reasons or what were the reasons for them shutting down the season. And think about it. Like, you go back and you go, okay, the SEC, the ACC and the Big 12, they reviewed the same data that we reviewed, and they opted to play. So that's when you kind of go, like, what's happening here? Is someone just misreading this information? You still don't know.
It's really – it just seems so odd to me, because when you look at the economic impact, one, it's devastating to Ohio State and all these universities. Two, when you look at – you know, it's football. Like, there's ambulances outside, like, of the games, because, you know, you might get carted off with, like, a broken neck or something, or you might get a concussion. Like, there's so many things that could happen, you know, that could really impact your life. I mean, look at Maryland. A couple of years ago, they had a player who tragically passed away. And, like, you know, no one's really talking about that still. It just, you know, he passed away. They fired the coach and kind of swept it under the rug. And Iowa had those
14 players that went to the hospital with exhaustion.
Yeah.
Right.
So,
right.
I mean, anything.
Well, think about CTE. I mean, CTE is part of the game. I mean, your people are, you know, struggling with that. I mean, there's no – but when you think about it, I mean, my only thing is this, is if you have the right protocols, which, again – I got my youth team played. We actually played on Sunday. We actually won 32-0. But anyway,
nice.
we watched our high schools play. We have everyone. So with the right protocols, and Dan, to your point, man, no one thought about that. This is a $2 billion decision to not play. $2 billion to not have a season. And you would think that someone at that level to make that kind of a decision would have had all the information that they needed.
Or have the numbers or something. Cause it's like, that just doesn't make sense to me at all. Even if it costs $2 million, you know, whatever they were projecting, I think they said it was like $2 million to test for the season. You eat a $2 million loss. Okay. But then $2 million compared to $130 million across the board, that's a no-brainer. Yeah.
And you're wondering why, like playing football isn't going to cause you to get COVID, right? I mean, think about it. Like, I mean, when you tackle someone, you don't lick them. I mean,
you
basically have a face shield on and you have gloves on. And so I think the chances of getting COVID by playing football are probably extremely, extremely low, right? And then but if you test the kids – before they play, well, then you even cut it down even further. So, I don't know. I don't get it.
I don't either. It's a very, very hard thing to swallow. I know that. But numerous head coaches I've reported that telling their kids get ready because we could be playing. Harbaugh has said it to his team. Ohio State has been rumored that they practice, what, yesterday? I know that's a protocol that they are allowed up to a couple hours, you know, 12 hours a week. How do you think, because we don't have much time now, because got the message. How do you think the votes, if they vote tomorrow, how do you think the vote's going to go?
Well, I think, I pray. I'm extremely encouraged that I think we have the numbers. I think they vote. I think they vote to play. I think they basically got a mulligan. And I think they're not going to, I don't think they make the same mistake, you know, twice. We just saw, you know, the governor of Michigan. They opened up the state, you know, for football.
It's huge.
Which is a big, you know, it's a big step.
I
don't want to count my chickens, but I, you know, I'm knocking on wood, but I think we're going to get some good news. And I think it might be an October kick, which means we could get right back in that, you know, thick of it for that, you know, for that national championship.
Is it going to be the same schedule, do you think?
From what I've heard a couple rumors. I heard that they're re-looking at the schedule right now. And there's a couple schools that may not, that may opt out. And they're just looking at what that does to the, you know, to the schedule. You know, do you make those bye weeks? I don't know.
I look at it this way. I look at it this way. Say if 9 or 10 schools vote yes, and the four or five others don't, just have all those schools play each other.
That's what was so confusing to me, Josh, is that, like, even before this, there were six schools who wanted to play. Well, why couldn't we just play then? Why we just have a round robin and, you know, play each other twice? So, but now I think something changed. I think you had a lot of influence. You know, heck, you had the president call, which was, you know, good. when President Trump calls, I'm certainly answering the phone. So, I mean, you know, I don't care if you lean left or right. If I, you know, hopefully getting, it sounded like, him making the test available was the big thing. And I think that's what, you know, too, I think this too is, you know, when I travel the country and I talk to people, some people are kind of surprised by the importance that the Midwest puts on football. I don't know why we need to apologize for that. You know, football is important to us. You know, it's, you know, it's kind of a way of life, and whatever needed to happen, people kind of got in a room and they talked things out. They shook hands. They saw things a different way. They actually communicated, or maybe they cooperated, or they collaborated, whatever it took. I think we're going to get some good news.
I think we ought to thank the Pickerington schools for playing each other on ESPN, because they were on national TV.
That's right.
And I think with the Pickerington schools playing on national TV and everything going right, everybody in the Midwest was like, maybe we should be able to play football.
Maybe we should be playing. Maybe.
I think the rally made a difference, too. I really did. I think, you know, Buckeye Nation showing up out there last Saturday, just showing support. And then the parents going to, you know, Indianapolis and the lawsuit and everything. I truly believe, you know, we made a difference. Even on social media, just complaining every day on Twitter. Just
I think
everyone joining hands and, like, teaming up. I really think, you know, it was a beautiful moment. If we end up playing after this, I'm going to be so happy, just because I feel like Josh, everyone else who came to the rally, we all made a difference. And I'm like that, like, looking back on this, maybe like 20 years, if they play and we win a national championship, I'm going to be, you know, showing pictures to my kids being like, I went to the rally.
I said
my voice, I love football, you know. And you're absolutely right. Like, we should not have to apologize in the Midwest because we love football. It's just who we are. Like, it's our sport. It's what we don't have much out here. We have corn, some cities, and football, and that's it.
Football. I don't apologize for it.
Here's the thing. I'm a diehard Reds fan. As you can see, I'm a Bengals fan. I'm a Cavs fan.
I got you.
I'm a Blue Jackets fan. Buckeye football and Ohio State athletics, I'm going to just say Ohio State athletics as in general, is a way of life, because our pro teams can't cut the mustard compared to Ohio. If you look at it, if I had a good chance, I would show you my room, and I showed Dan numerous times. I've got jerseys on my wall. It's all Ohio State. Yeah, I got the little Bengals thing there back here, but it's a – Ohio State athletics is a way of life for me personally. And I can speak with the rest of Buckeye Nation that Yeah, I'm excited for the Bengals, but my heart is broken because I can't watch my team.
A lot of people feel that way. A lot of, and you know what? That's the way it is in Nebraska. That's the way it is, in Iowa. Mm-hmm. That's the way it is up in Wisconsin. I mean, now the levels might be a little different, right? Might be a little different that we might be a little bit more fanatics here. Maybe it means, but the Midwest is football. And I think you're right, Dan. It could have been that I think if no one did anything, it would have just quietly went away. And I think it would have changed forever. I think it would have been, I think who knows what would have happened? Who knows? Like if we wouldn't have done anything and it would have been okay for it to go away for a year. I'm glad we stood up and said it wasn't okay.
After the rally, I'm at peace with it, honestly, because I feel like I've done everything we can. If the vote goes bad, if they go to a vote tomorrow, and even if it goes bad,
agree.
I'm just it's not going to go bad. We're saying positive, but
no, I'm
if
with
it goes
you. I'm
bad,
with you.
You know what? We tried. We threw everything good. We could at them. It is what it is. It just wasn't meant to be. But I can at least sleep good at night knowing, we gave it a shot.
And everybody, that's all. If we do get some good news, I think you can look at not just one. You can look at a lot of groups. You can look at a lot of dads, a lot of moms, a lot of folks that made a big stink about it. And good for them. Hopefully. So let's just, we could be kicking off in 4 to 6 weeks. Wouldn't that be nice? Wouldn't that be awesome? Think about it. If we,
so good.
I mean, I know, think about us just sitting here dreaming about having a 10-game season. I don't know if they'll let anybody in the stands. I don't know what that'll look like. I don't really care. I just want to watch it.
They were testing out the scoreboard today.
Were they?
Yeah.
You know what? Someone told me they got some messages from university asking about buying.
I got an email saying that our student athletes miss us. Would you like to send a message on the scoreboard? And I'm like, I was going to mention that, but I was going to mention that, and I totally forgot about that until you mentioned. I was like, something's
up.
The other day I said I was 55-45 that we're going to have football. Now I'm like 65-35 that we're going to have football.
It's been such a roller coaster, though, hasn't it?
Oh yeah.
So John, take 2 steps forward, I have a step back.
Yeah, John, it's been our pleasure. It was a pleasure meeting you and your wife Saturday, and the rest of the Buckeye parents. And what you guys have done is awesome. Leading the cause for everything, allowing us to go out to the rally. We appreciate you coming on to the podcast, and it was a great time.
Appreciate you, Josh. Appreciate you too, Dan. Thanks for everything you guys are doing.
Thanks, John. And, as always, as we end the show, we just say, let's go Bucks.
Bucks. Go Bucks.
Bucks. Appreciate
thanks, guys.
It. Appreciate talk it, John. You.